In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's an enormous joy to be together today celebrating the rededication of this church. And we have some amazing readings which fill our minds with images of the meaning of a place of worship like this. Today's gospel reading begins with a very atmospheric account of Jesus walking in the portico of Solomon in the temple of his day during the festival of dedication there. I say atmospheric because it's one of those rather few lovely moments when we're given more descriptive material in the Gospel of John. We're not only told where in the temple Jesus was and what was going on there liturgically, but we're told that it's winter. And in my mind, I picture Jesus walking around with a thick cloak around him, speaking to those who were interested in his work, but rather hostile. The portico of Solomon ran along the east side of the temple, next to the court of Gentiles. Josephus, the historian of the Roman Empire, tells us that it was 23 feet wide, that the columns were 40 feet high, made of marble, and that the ceiling above was lined with cedar panels. The portico, I think, would have looked remarkably like our own portico, perhaps a little wider and much, much longer. It would have been impressive, but not as impressive, perhaps not as monumental as the other portico in the temple, the royal colonnade, which was on the south side of the Temple Mount. To the Jewish hearers of John's Gospel, in the early church, the location where Jesus was speaking to the crowd in this portico of Solomon would have been familiar, even to those who hadn't been there themselves. And even after the destruction of the temple, because St. Luke reports in the Acts of the Apostles that Peter also regularly taught there. The account in Acts chapter 3 of Peter entering the temple with John to pray and healing the man who they met at the beautiful gate when he asked them for money, and this is the man who went walking and leaping and praising God in the popular children's song. That account then describes them going on to the portico of Solomon with the man leaping and jumping around beside them. And that when Peter got there, he told the crowd that they had in their ignorance crucified the one whom God had sent, God's Messiah. Moments later, the temple police arrived and arrested them. And this was just weeks after Jesus himself had been there, before he was arrested and executed. The next time the portico is mentioned is not long after, in Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira fall down dead for withholding their gift of property from the apostles. The writer, Luke, says that the apostles then went and gathered on the portico of Solomon together, although none of the other disciples, none of the other followers of Jesus dared to join them. We're not told why they dared not go and join them. Perhaps they were afraid also of being arrested, or perhaps they were also afraid of being struck down like Ananias and Sapphira. I expect that those with money stashed in the Cayman Islands were busy making appointments to see their accountants. The link there with wealth is interesting. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." But the portico of Solomon in the temple of its day, was not a place just of shelter. It was a place to demonstrate conspicuous wealth, much like the massive portico at the front of our church. Beautiful, dramatic, an oversized declaration as it is of the glory of God to the people of Eaton Square to reflect on whether they want to come and enjoy what happens inside or not. Greek temple porticos or colonnades showed off the wealth of the cities where they were built. Often they were built with a gift of benefaction from somebody. In Jerusalem, the portico named after Solomon was not part of Solomon's original temple, because that was all destroyed 6 centuries earlier. And the name was just used, we think, to give it an aura of glory. Herod the Great probably rebuilt an existing colonnade from the earlier Hasmonean temple that was already stood there. But the Herodians did spend a great deal of money on the temple buildings in order to demonstrate their wealth and their power. And as in Judaism there was just one God, and so Jerusalem had just one temple, unlike the Greek city-states, all the cash could be spent in that one place on making it really, really astounding. Solomon's portico was therefore a beautiful public area for Jewish people to gather and to learn about the latest teaching, also a sign of the extravagance of God's mercy and justice, as well as the most gigantic reminder of the extravagance of Jerusalem's rulers. Jesus, however, on the portico, doesn't speak about wealth or about worldly glory. The crowd challenged Jesus to tell them whether he was or wasn't the Messiah, whom they expected as a king in the mould of David or Solomon, coming on the clouds of heaven, leading the armies of God. But instead, Jesus talked about sheep. He domesticated their worldly assumptions about power and wealth with a handy farming metaphor, as was his way. He brought it all, if you like, down to earth. His concern was not with the overthrowing of the Romans or with worldly power and glory, but rather with the faith of the people whom God had entrusted to him. We have been blessed here at St. Peter's with magnificent buildings, a church with magisterial soaring columns and beautiful design, carefully executed at great cost, lovingly maintained, and then rebuilt after the tragic fire with love and with dedication. We love it, and it resonates with meaning for each of us. But the building is a metaphor for the value which God recognizes in the human beings who he has made, both the people inside, the people who want to come and worship here, and the people outside too, the people who might never come. Like two circles of a Venn diagram, if you will, which overlap on the portico, the place of meeting, of teaching, and of shelter. I've met many people on the portico, people whom God loves, some of them weeping, some of them eating their lunch, others sleeping beside the wall all day in sleeping bags, others visiting from overseas who look through the windows, the door at the end, and are overwhelmed at the golden beauty that they see within. The kingdom of God is not built out of stone or of wood or of glass or of pipes or of concrete or of wires. It is instead a spiritual house built out of living stones, out of human hearts and dedicated lives, out of self-sacrifice for others, out of gentle care and obedience to God's call to humility and service, even and often in the face of adversity. The building, this beautiful, majestic demonstration of Christian faith, which has been a place of shelter, a place where disciples gather for teaching, a place where worship is offered, and where the presence of God has been sought in troubled lives. This church is a symbol of God's care for his people, the sheep of his flock. It is a symbol of his protection for each of us and for those who hear the call of the shepherd. It is like the shepherd's stone sheepfold, if you like, which we spoke of a couple of weeks ago, where we who were lost hear his voice and know ourselves found. It is a reminder of the heavenly Jerusalem, a place where the precious jewels of God's glory may be recognized in the temple of the human heart, in the humble beauty of human lives lived to the full. Today, we thank God for our beautiful building and for those who have cared for it over many years. We give thanks for all that goes on within it, all that takes place here. And we pray that God, in his goodness and his mercy, would use each of us, the living stones, to build his kingdom here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.